worth it all. You're worth it all. You're worth our lives, Jesus, because you said you're worth it. You're worth it all. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. Can we praise his holy name? Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we salute you as the commander-in-chief. And we thank you, Lord, that our knees bow to you out of love, out of devotion. Lord, our hearts are commanded to be tethered with you because you designed us that way. You're amazing, Jesus, because of your blood. You spilled your blood for us, Lord Jesus. You spilled your blood. You rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, we will never forget. We will never forget. We'll take it to the ends of the earth. We'll shout it from every mountaintop, Jesus, that you're worth it all. And we'll see nations come into your praise, honor, and glory. We love you so much, Jesus. God, thank you we could be standing here today because of you. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for the mothers here today. All of us have one or two. And all of us, many of us are mothers. So, Father, I just thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the privilege of motherhood. For the privilege of sowing life, of seeing the reproduction of your heart, of seeing what you intended from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord, for all the moms here today who have experienced great pain, brokenness, joy, tribulation, exaltation, great gamuts of relational connections, God. We just thank you, Lord, that you knew what you were doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor each mother here today. But above all else, Lord, we honor you. We honor you. We honor your presence. We honor your closeness. You're worth it all, Jesus. We can risk everything for you. You gave everything for us. Everything, Jesus. Nothing has been left unturned. Nothing escapes your notice. You care about every detail of our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, may this be a sweet-smelling aroma to you in your nostrils, Jesus. For we live and we breathe and we exist because of you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And yes, Lord, we all want to be part of changing the world. But that ultimately begins and ends in the gospel of the great commission that you've given us, the great gospel of the kingdom, God, to take everywhere. Lord, it's not transformation for the sake of transformation. It's for you, Jesus, for you're the ultimate reformer and lover. You're the one, God. You're worth it all. You said it was worth it all. You said it was finished, God. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation of our souls. We embrace you today. Thank you, Lord. So good. So good. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's a good morning, isn't it, everyone? A good Sunday morning. Awesome to be alive. We sometimes forget that even being here is a blessing and a good thing. So I just wanted to greet you all and hope you have a wonderful day with all your wonderful loved ones today. And just to highlight a couple of things that are going on, there's lots of things actually going on, and you can start catching the fullness of that in your bulletins and on the big screen. Before and after church. So that's where you can catch all our weekly ministry happenings and obviously also online. But the areas that I wanted to highlight today are our Kingdom Kids meeting June 4th. And it's a family meeting. Everyone is welcome to stay for lunch. And we can bring something to share with one another. There's a sign up in the foyer. There's been a link that's been emailed. But it really is an invitation for everyone who is here part of Frontline to stay and to hear what's going on with our children's ministry. And then obviously if you're directly involved, such as a parent, a Kingdom Kids teacher, God Connect facilitator, or summer celebration helper, the many ways that we help with children. We're asking that you please make that extra effort to be here, but everyone is welcome to hear what's going on with our children's ministry. So that's June 4th, right after church. And then on Wednesday, June 28th through Saturday the 21st, we will have our Jackson booth once again. We're trying to pull all the information for that together, so very shortly we'll be needing volunteers to sign up. What? No, that's a typo. June 28th through July 1st. Thanks, Andy. We're going to be there a long time, folks. Jackson needs to hear. Correction. The 28th through July 1st. And that's, for those who don't know, that's the gathering that they have here in the Jackson Park where there's carnival rides and lots of booths. We've had the opportunity to have a booth there. So we will be there. It is during the Mozambique, while the Mozambique team is gone. So all of you non-Mozambican team members, we need you, we love you. We will appreciate greatly your help. And once again, signups for all of that will be shortly coming. And then another save the date is our Kena Kids Summer Celebration. Very exciting stuff, July 12th through the 14th. And that will be again in the evening from 6 to 8. So more physical flyers and all of that is to come this coming week. So mark your calendars, both for your children and other children to attend, and then we'll be also needing help. And finally, just a reminder for Azusa in July, they are still needing lots and lots and lots and lots of volunteers. So if you haven't had a chance to get on there and check out what they need help with, or maybe you feel like, I don't know what I can do, they actually need like over 100 people to help clean up each night. And I think all of us are capable of picking up trash. So if there's no other area that you can think of, they need help, everything from picking up people from the airport to setting up, ushering, registration, bookstore, and then even cleaning up at the end of each day. So please get on there. And if you happen to volunteer, we'd like to keep track of it. So please sign up in the foyer and let us know if you've done that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, altar workers is a new one. Okay. They need a team for ministry, and that is something new that was added on there. It does require training, so you got to get on there and read all that information if you're interested in that. All right? And let's not forget our tithe and offering. Drop it in the back before you head out. And without further ado, Kingdom Kids are released, and we'll be hearing from Pastor Bill this morning.
I think I want to declare over mothers today what's on the nice little written card. May this fragrant rose remind you of your rare beauty, kingdom aroma, and strength to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. You are royalty. You are celebrated because Jesus' love and grace shines through you. Thank you for stepping into the most exciting, adventurous, and rewarding life as a Jesus-following mom. And may this year be one of the deeply seeking the face of the one who loves you most. May your children and grandchildren rise up and follow your kingdom heart of love for Jesus, living their lives completely for him. Be blessed today. Father, we bless mothers today, God. We bless your servants. We bless your Marys. Father, we ask that you would draw them in closer to your heart than ever this day and each day that follows. Thank you, God, that we each have a mother And Lord, so many of them pointed us to Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you touched hearts so that we could be here. And Lord, we pray that each mother here will have that same effect on their children, pointing them to Jesus, and we'll have laborers for the harvest as their destiny. God, thank you that you can accomplish that in lives. And Father, where those children have been detoured from their destiny, we call them home to your heart. We call them home to what they were taught when they were young. We call them back to you, Father, back to your heart, back to your side. Let your hand rest upon each one that is wayward today, God, and each one after your destiny today, God. We pray these things, and we ask that we would be open to what you share with us today, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll give this back to the proper source. Well, as Pastor Mary Pat was speaking last week, there was a word that came to me, and the word was risk. Yeah. Risk. Anything that you heard last week, you're going to have to take a risk to reach it. You're going to have to continue to take a risk if you've been going after a missional heart, after a missional lifestyle, after taking the gospel to the nations. What's fun about this community is there are a lot of risk takers. You are in the midst of a lot of risk takers. These pictures on the walls are the result, the reward in many cases, of taking the risk to be a small fellowship and yet go to a lot of nations. And they add up over the years. I can't even remember, say, 2004, 2005, 2006, exactly what countries we went to. And before that, it's kind of a blur. There are so many places that we've reached out to and relationships that almost daily see how we're doing here from around the world. They ask. Last night it was India. Our friend Andrew just got married, and, you know, he's a character, but what's he interested in? He goes out into the villages with his brother and the rest of his family members. Every one of them you meet are interested in taking the gospel to the villages in India, way out, where there's just maybe a small Hindu temple. And they took me to one of those, and I talked with a guy about my age. And we had a good conversation, the guy who was the head of the temple. That was interesting. But it's just amazing, the people that we know and the heart that they have. They have so little, and yet they have big plans. He could have been talking about his marriage to me. I said, you know, send me some pictures. And I guess they're on Facebook. I didn't realize that. But he said, oh, I will. But could you pray for our outreach? We're going to go to this village, and there's so many people there that they're just bound in Hinduism. And I would remind you again to pray for India. I know it's a Hindu nation, dominant Hindu nation, and we typically think of Muslims as the problem in the world. And believe me, they're the religion of being a Muslim is a huge, huge problem, because right in the religion, it's about killing us. It's about killing us. So, you know, they might have a tender heart, but their religion, you know, as an individual, but as a religion, they're trying to kill the infidels. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to kill those that would follow Jesus. And they do. But the Hindus are massively burning churches, persecuting Christians, and killing Christians in India, and you don't really hear much about it. So pray for India. I don't want to get off on that topic too long, but honestly, it's a wicked, wicked, demonically inspired religion. So we've been there, we've seen it, and it's horrendous for Christians that live there. So they're taking a risk in everything that they do because the government right now is highly nationalistic Hindu with a leader, President Modi, that just basically wants Christians, you know, under his leadership to be wiped out of India. So they're throwing out missionaries right and left. And you don't hear that much in the news because, you know, they've been centering on the whole problem with Muslims or non-problem with Muslims and all that. Now, as individuals, obviously, we love them. We give the heart of Jesus to them. We serve them. We will reach out to them in love. But as a religion, it's wickedness. And we need to not say, oh, well, it's one of the three major religions in the world. That's so nice, isn't it? There's only one true God. Jesus is the only one that should be on the throne. Not Muhammad. Not these Hindu gods. Thousands and thousands and some say millions of Hindu gods. Each family has their own favorite shrine in their home. There's shrines here in Jackson Township to Hindu gods in houses. Very big houses. I think Andy painted one. There's Hindu shrines in the basement. So it's not just over there. So let's get off that. Wow. But the idea was risk. And just so that I don't miss it, moms take a risk every day to make sure that Jesus is lifted up in the home. You take a risk because it's not accepted as it used to be. It's not nearly as accepted as it used to be. People look at you like, why would you do that? So bless you for taking that risk. Let's just quickly look at the quote. Doesn't have anything to do with this, I don't think, but we'll see. Living for yourself should never be considered as your calling from God. And we as Christians go, well, I want my calling. I want my calling from God. Then we have to live selflessly. That's where it starts. There's no calling from God that we'll find if we live self-ish. Only if we live selflessly. Less self. Okay, I think I made the point. All right. So, Pastor Mary Pat found this amazing video this week. Some of you may have seen it. I don't know. You posted it on Facebook? Okay. But there's going to be a lot of messages coming from this particular video. It's very simple, but there's just so many prophetic things in it. So let's just watch that for a minute. You have to hear the sound? Oh, wait. I guess you said back it up if you can. Oh, here we go. This is good. Oh, here we go. Lights. You could do a whole message just on that. For Mother's Day, it's very appropriate because that's what mothers do. They take the risk. They go first. They jump out. And then they're hoping that the little crowd follows them, that the children follow where they're going to go. The one thing about the video you may not have thought much about yet is the birds going overhead. As the mother jumps in, there's a bunch of birds that fly overhead. And, you know, I kind of look at those as they're not willing to commit to water. That's too risky. You know, they like flying in the air. They're not going to commit to water. But here's these little ducklings following the leader. And it's kind of what Jesus does with us as well. Take the risk with me. He took the risk first. Becoming a man, that was a huge risk. Limiting himself to be God inside human flesh. That was huge for us. If he hadn't done that, we would still be, you know, not having that example for our eyes to see because God is spirit. But he provided that example. He came in human flesh, took the risk, and yet it was a guaranteed risk because he believed his own prophecies about himself. He believed God as Father was able to protect him until his mission was done. Remember when they tried to throw him over the cliff? Were they successful? No. Could they even lay a hand on him? Angry, spitting angry. And they had the authority. Because they did crucify him eventually. They had the authority to throw him over the cliff if they wanted to and then make up whatever they wanted to according to the Old Testament after it was over with. A blasphemer? Oh, man. You can go after one of those as a religious leader back in those days. And yet he walked right out of that situation without being touched because it was a guaranteed risk. Prophecies backed him up. The Father's word backed him up. The Father protecting him as the God-man. Very vulnerable. He had to sleep. Okay? Jesus had to sleep. I don't know if you knew that. He ate to exist. So he was vulnerable. He took that risk. And as you know, took the risk to be on the cross. For who? For himself? Didn't need to go there for himself. For us. And he stopped people from rescuing him. He delivered himself into their hands. And he stopped Peter from trying to rescue him. Think of that. It was a guaranteed risk in the heart of Jesus. Still very difficult. The most difficult thing that's ever been done. Trump running for president is not the most difficult thing that's ever been done. Okay, it was Jesus going to the cross. And how much do we value that? It's a risk in our society to value that anymore. To value the Jesus that was willing to take the big risk. So some people are risk adverse. They avoid risk. You know, if you're a person that sells insurance, I guess there's all kinds of formulas and everything else about how risky certain activities are and whether they will, you know, cover you. If you jump out of a plane, cover you. If you bungee jump, you know, cover you if you're a race car driver. There's all kinds of formulas as to whether they'll cover you or not. Just so you know, insurance companies are risk adverse. They don't want you to take any risks. None whatsoever. So that all the premiums go to build up the company and they make a bigger profit if you don't take any risks. The kingdom is just the opposite, isn't it? It's about taking risks daily. You can walk into a store, I have many times, bought something at the counter, person looked needy, walked right out. Never said anything to them other than, you know, thank you for the change, or yes, I have two of those,
please don't forget to charge me for both. And walk right out, seeing with my Jesus eyes there's a needy person there. But many of you, and myself included, have also had those times where we've taken the risk. We've opened up a conversation or something they've said, we go ahead and say something about it. And it's led to life-giving conversations with the valuable person in front of us. You know, Heidi Baker calls it stopping for the one. We have to keep encouraging one another to do that, don't we? You know, it's not so much about putting out a big sign out front, you're welcome to come here. Maybe once in a while, someone will drift in the door. But I guarantee if we engage people in real life, in the things, just the normal things we do, like Jesus with a drink at the well. A drink at the well ends up in the salvation of a woman who goes and evangelizes a whole village on the spot, and they come to see the one she evangelized them about. Come see. That's what will build more laborers into this fellowship. The people that we meet every day, the people we already know. It's not always about the new person we meet, it's about the ones we already know. And we have to take the risk to engage them, whether they're at work, school, stores, whatever. We have to encourage one another to do that. You know, you can speak on this particular little thing and it gets completely silent in here. It's just amazing. It's very convicting, isn't it? But Jesus did it so well. If we just watch what he did and if we just follow him, we jump into the water with him for people, see them as treasures, see them as valuable, not live that selfish life, but the selfless life, not just have our own thoughts, but be thinking of others. Wow, what a difference it makes. Suddenly we become a lunatic evangelist. And we didn't even try. All we did was look at people through the eyes of Jesus. Please don't go around thinking, well, I'm not gifted as an evangelist. How do you know? We have to take a risk to find out. You might be better than Billy Graham. Better than Reinhard Bonnke. Who knows? If we take the risk, we might find out who we really are. Maybe we're a raving lunatic evangelist. So what I want to do is have a quick panel of three people. So this is a good time to take a risk. Who would like to volunteer to be part of the quick panel? It's only three questions. There's no prizes. Here we go. Here we go. See? Here's some risk takers right here. Yes, please. We'll give you a little more room there. Okay, we just need one more risk taker. All right. Well, here we go. Go ahead. We'll have a fourth one. Go ahead. Yeah, no, go ahead. We'll have four. We have another seat. I know there was a reason I bought these seats. For times like this. Okay, the first couple questions I'm going to give you a little chance to think about. So here they are. What is the greatest risk you've ever taken? You can think about that. And then the second question is like it. What is the greatest risk you have ever taken for Jesus? Be thinking of those two questions. What's the greatest risk you've ever taken? What is the greatest risk you've ever taken for Jesus? Okay, and then the easy one. Tell us about a person in the Bible that took a risk for God. And quickly, because they'll want to hear this too. A person in the Bible that took a risk for God. Esther, tell us why.
Okay, so for Esther, She trusted the Lord with her destiny in going to, oh my gosh, I'm blanking, in going to marry the king, and God used her in a powerful way to save her people. She's like, to save her people.
There we go. Yes. Nice. Perfect example. Well, anyone that wants to take that question, someone in the Bible that took a risk for God, tell us about that person.
Noah. Yeah. Well, I just find that, yeah, I mean, he literally built a really big.
The answers? Don't ask like it's a question.
No. I've always thought it was very interesting how he decided to make a really, really, really giant boat and then took a whole bunch of animals on it. And then there was no sign, really, I mean, other than him knowing that the Lord spoke to him to build the boat, that there was going to be this huge flood that was going to completely kill everything and people calling him crazy and all that. And I just imagine if I would see someone's making a huge boat, like, down the road from me, what I would think about them, and I would...
down the road from you. It's right on your property.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is true. No, he wants to make one of those tiny homes. That's who I think, yeah.
David, I mean, he went out and faced the giant, which is, you know, scary, but he ended a war because of it and just had faith in God and what God told him to do, so he just went and did it. And, you know, when you're walking out and there's this army in front of you and then they have this elite soldier coming out, that's got to be terrifying, but he just trusted in God and did it.
All right, second example from the Bible. We'll do that real quick. Yeah, from the Bible. From the Bible. Because they're still thinking about the first two questions. All right, we'll just move on to it then. Is someone out there? Okay.
Elijah, when he was up on the top of a mountain and he gathers all the priests of the other religion and says, let's call on God and see which God answers with fire. That's a pretty big risk right there.
Yeah. Okay, God, just answer with fire. Go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead.
Stephen.
Moses. Burning bush, scared as all get out, but go talk to Pharaoh. Paul.
Nehemiah.
Okay, we can go on. Don't take over the message. You're not letting me put these people on the spot. Okay, what is the greatest risk you've ever taken? You've had all these minutes to think about it without anything in between.
Dropping everything, moving away from a family to move to Ohio from California.
That's the way I felt moving from Michigan to Ohio.
A little more hostile there.
Might have been a little bit bigger risk for me because we're rivals. Awesome. That's a good one. Another just normal, regular, greatest risk taken in life.
Giving up my desires and wants for Jesus. You know, first time I ever gave my life to Jesus, it was a big risk, you know. So that was a pretty big risk.
Okay. I agree. Guaranteed risk.
Guaranteed, yeah. That's a pretty...
Because if you give your life up for Jesus, you go, wow, this is a risk. It's true. However, I need a microphone. It goes up there. You'll probably hear it on this one. It's a guaranteed risk because of what he promises will happen afterwards. Holy Spirit comes in, he can empower you, giftings, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely. It's the greatest risk that we take is to receive Jesus. And then it just gets riskier from there on. But another risk, either natural or spiritual. We'll open it up to both.
The first time I ever jumped off a diving board when I was a kid, that was a, like, I was watching the video and it was a 13-foot diving board, like standing up. And I was pretty scared then, so.
But it looks like a green thing.
Yeah, I was like, what am I going to do? And I just jumped. And I just, that's what I thought about when I was watching the video. But that's a pretty big risk.
Oh, yeah.
When I worked in the film industry, the first time I was lit on fire, that one was a pretty big risk, because not only did you have the risk of being burnt, but you can also be steamed by your sweat. So all around, I was like, this just sounds like a terrible thing to do, but I'm ready. I'm excited. Let's light me on fire. But
wow. Steamed by your sweat. So
the way it works is you have to dress in multiple layers, usually in the character that you're portraying that light you're being lit on fire as. So you have a fire suit that you put on after sitting in an ice room for about 4 or 5 hours to drop your body temperature. Then they put a coating over top of this suit that is flammable. In that process, then you're sitting there for about an hour and a half in this suit getting prepped and ready. They dress you up. Even put a mask over yourself to make you look more like the character, but you're just still sitting in the suit for an hour and a half. So it's hot and uncomfortable, and the suit gets so hot that if you're sweating on the inside of the suit, it will actually turn to steam and you'll burn yourself through the steam. So not only do you have actual risk of being burnt by the fire, but the steam from your own sweat can burn you as well.
Okay, and your insurance agent?
Yeah, that was an expensive insurance policy, that's for sure.
Awesome. So, be set on fire spiritually or be cooked by your own steam. By your own sweat. Sorry, steam after the sweat.
Smelly risk.
Smelly risk. It evaporates. It turns to steam, but anyway. All right, biggest risk. We already covered salvation, so, you know, another risk for Jesus, if it's for Jesus, or just a natural risk you've taken.
Well, this is like a 2-for-1, I think. It could be like natural and then spiritual as well. So if anybody knows the story about Cameron and I, we didn't start off with, you know, the Lord as the center of everything. We were in high school. My biggest risk on my life was keeping that from my parents for like a month, because they found out. And oh my gosh. Very quickly, my parents, because I mean, they didn't do anything bad or anything like that. We were at a football game, the McKinley-Maslin game, because we went to McKinley, and we were on one side. We were in the front row, of course, of the stadium where, like, all of the students sit. All Cameron does is he puts his arm around me, and I don't know how it happened. My parents decided to sit on the opposing team's side, and there was absolutely zero, like, no one around them. There was 2 people sitting directly across on the other side of the stadium, no one around them, because everyone from Maslin is on the other side of the stadium. And my dad said that he was going to break his arm if he did it again. And it was also like my parents' risk too, but the Lord's hand was on all of that from the minute that happened. No, we were totally wrong for like keeping that a secret. I do not condone that. However, I'm saying that my biggest risk was keeping something like that from my parents, because I know that at that age, you think that your life is literally going to end when your parents find out that you do something wrong. So I just know in my mind that was so stupid. Anyways, but the biggest risk then was just spiritually was, you know, coming back into alignment with God and then basically giving him that entire situation completely, because if I hadn't have given it to him, who knows, I might not even be married to Cameron now. But to give that entire thing to him was really difficult, because he was either going to do one of two things. He was either going to come to church the next day, get saved, start speaking in tongues on that Tuesday, see like five people, you know, the Lord come through for five people on a first Friday, and then, you know, be healed, his elbow healed, all of that, that he could choose that, or he could say, you're crazy, your family's crazy, sayonara. Thankfully, he picked the first one, and all of those things happened, so I know that sounds, it's a while ago, but that was the biggest risk.
Okay, there are some entertaining people up here. Being a father, there was one detail about that story that, you know, him seeing that whole scene, your father seeing that whole scene. He was cheering without a shirt on. Wasn't that true? Okay. Never mind. Sometimes pastors know too much. Okay. That's better. He's painted with a weird hat on his head. There's my son-in-law. Awesome. Just, you know, it's wonderful to have people in chairs up here. Okay, anything else before we release you? You're off the hook. They were
calling for you. I would just say the biggest risk would just be trusting God with my process and hearing his voice and letting him teach me and being open and willing to letting him speak to me, because there's an intimacy in trusting the Lord in that way. And, you know, and just stepping out and praying for people, that's been a huge risk that at first was, oh my gosh, you know, and terrifying. But now that I'm looking back, has been a joy, and I can't even imagine not taking that first step, you know. So
well, I'd probably have to say the same thing. I did not grow up in a church that really saw what's happening here as being of God, and that was coming here and experiencing it and seeing the love that pours out from all of you guys has really, it was a really tough struggle. And to just be able to take a step back and be like, all right, God, I want to know who you are. I want to see who you are. And I want to know you, not define the box I have you in. And to be able to open up and break away from that. And really, it's causing a little bit of conflict on my personal side now, because it's against what my parents were raised to believe in. So kind of coming back to them and having discussions with them, it's a bit of a conflict. But seeing what's happening and seeing God move, I can't go to them and say it's not God, because I know it is. So it's hard and it's a risk, but as God reveals himself to me, I believe he's going to help me reveal him to in a new light to them as well. And that's, I mean, my father's very headstrong. He's actually a minister himself, so it's very hard to come back to him and say, you know, God, Dad, you might have this wrong, and take time to know God in a different way and don't limit him. And it's a big risk, but you know, I know that if there's ever anything that would be something that would really put any kind of separation between us, religion would be it. And I know that my parents, with the loving nature they are and the way they've raised us, that they will seek him first in the process, and I hope that they just see him in the same light and realm that he has revealed himself to me, but they need to open their hearts to do that first. So
awesome. Thanks for sharing from the heart. So how many here grew up with a little bit different flavor than what you're experiencing now here, just as an extra encouragement? Yeah. Yeah. And this woman helped me with that. Because I was not in this flow at all. Yes. Thank you very much. Awesome. Awesome sharing. Oh, you can just leave them there. It's okay. Thanks. All right. So actually, many of the things that I had written down here, they covered. I had Moses. I had Elijah. I had Paul. Obviously, there are many others in the Bible. But the thing is, Jesus gets the credit because he takes the risk first with us, doesn't he? He draws us to a deeper relationship, to the presence. He draws us to something different than what we grew up with. What if we all stayed with what we grew up with and didn't take the risk? We would not see as much as we've seen. Signs, wonders, miracles, changes in people's lives, and many walking away. It's true. Jesus had many disciples walk away when he taught such things as, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Think if we didn't know anything about the Bible and that was taught from the front here. There may be a few of us challenged just to go out the door. What kind of Dracula cult is this? Jesus did not hold back from taking a risk so that we could go deeper. So all of the testimonies up here and many that you have, and some of you were itching to come up here. I could see it after a while. You're like, I want to tell about the risks that I took, you know, with Jesus, or whatever. He took the risk for you to get you there. He speaks the life into you to have you take that risk, and then you do it. Peter was so enamored, so shook up by Jesus walking on water, he asked Jesus to call him to himself on a substance that the rest of the disciples said, well, that's good for Jesus, but I'm staying in the back of the boat. They would have never jumped off the dock, the rest of the disciples, at that time. But later on, they jumped off the dock so much and swam in the same waters that Jesus swam in that they were martyred for Jesus, the majority of them. You realize that all the disciples, except for Judas and John, were martyred. And then Paul was martyred, and others, of course. Think of that. That's taking the full risk. But it was a guaranteed risk for them. They believed in Jesus so deeply. And so all these things that were taught last week about going to the nations with the gospel. Don't forget your calling. Don't forget if you're discouraged, if you're not on that path anymore, if your situation in life has changed so you think that that calling has been adjusted. It may be adjusted, but it's certainly not over, is it? You're in a community of risk takers, whether you like it or you don't. And just because some of the leadership is getting a little older doesn't mean we're going to start sitting in the pews a little warmer and a little cozier. We're going to get crazier, just like those disciples did when they were martyred. We're going to go harder, farther. We're not going to back off by the grace of God. And none of you are backing off, right? You're saying that before the Lord. Don't worry about saying it to me. When Andrea says, this was scary at first, but I stepped out and I prayed for someone. We don't go, well, that's nothing. We know what that feels like. We know what it feels like to do that with a stranger on the street. priests of Canton or a group of people in Brazil. I today am calling you to risk. I was called when I was a young Christian to the balanced Christian life. I'm telling you it's more unbalanced than balanced when you're doing it right. You're doing crazier things in front of people, and you don't care about your reputation. You may not be dancing before the Lord without very many clothes on like David, but you are just as naked before your family, your friends, and so on in the spirit when you are risking. When you say, well, let me pray for that condition, mom, and mom has already rejected your kind of Christianity. You're taking a huge risk, but it's a risk that has been spoken up here is worth taking to see someone take a closer step to Jesus. This isn't just about the things we do or the things we see here, which, believe me, there were some awesome testimonies about that. But it's about going after life like Jesus would. He was so radical. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Try that in your family meeting, meal, whatever. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness on top of it. Wow. See, it's not just little meek and mild Jesus, is it? And it's not that we have to speak like that. We have to use Holy Spirit wisdom. He was wisdom. So when he spoke with his authority, he can rattle the bones. We have to be sure that we're not speaking out of anger. He didn't worry about that because he didn't have it. He loved so much. He was angry at sin and loved deeply the people. When he says things like, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What? He sent more people out the door than he had join his movement. When he said things like that. They liked the miracles. They liked the multiplying of food. But they did not like some of the things he said and they would walk away. You need to know that. Not everyone said, oh, Jesus, Jesus, can't wait to follow you. There were only the risk takers doing that. That really followed him. That didn't just show up for the meeting of the 5,000. Think of that. 5,000 people fed by a miracle. And yet how many were following him after that? Not 5,000 at that point. And yet he took the risk, the ultimate risk that made it multiply across the earth, where Christianity is the biggest problem on the earth right now. We get in everybody's business and they don't like it. And we do it with love and they still don't like it. And we do it with extra love and Jesus love, and they still don't like it. And they persecute. Don't join that bandwagon, persecuting brothers and sisters. Don't do it. The world already does it. We have enough persecution. And we're not hiding out because of it. We're going out because of it. So is your life a gamble or a guaranteed risk? Are you sowing into things that are risky, but you're not just spending your life on a gamble? Some people say, well, I went to the altar when I was 3 years old, and I asked Jesus into my life. Then they live like the devil the rest of their life, and just before they die, they say, well, at 3 years old, I received Jesus. That's a gamble. Excuse me, that's a gamble. Because living this Christian life is about a relationship with the one that we know. And that's a gamble. You're a person you don't really know, God. You don't know which way he's going to go on that type of thing where you're 3 years old. And you don't live for Jesus the rest of your life to even be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Yeah, that's a gamble. But you know what a guaranteed risk is? Some of the testimonies we heard up here. I received Jesus. I'm taking it forward. There are problems that I'm facing. There are relational difficulties that I'm willing to take the risk to let God empower me to work out and touch the other person to work out. But I'm not going to stop going after Jesus. He's first, above my mother, my father, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister. I love them. I want them to have as much as Jesus of Jesus as possible, but I have to lead. I have to jump off the dock. I have to follow the one that has risked for me. I'm going to risk. And to some of you, I'm speaking to the choir because you're risking for Jesus. There are some people in this group that want to be on every mission trip. Every mission trip. That's a risk. And yet you're doing it for Jesus. There are those of you that have gone on a mission trip for the first time and went through all the stuff of the mission trip, the challenges, the difficulties, the things inside that come out, and you want to go back and get some more of that. What? Are you crazy? Back off! Any logical person would back off of that. But you're pressing in, you risk taker. What's the matter with you? Seeking first the kingdom of God is a risk. Resisting religion and rules and living in radical Nazarite lifestyle is a risk. Promoting healing is a risk. Offering deliverance is a risk. Correction, instruction, and godly counsel, receiving it and giving it, is a risk. Explaining baptism in the Holy Spirit is a risk. Teaching the prophetic is a definite risk. Speaking on fasting is a risk. Following the Spirit is a risk. Choosing to be a son or daughter in the faith is a risk. Stepping into your giftings, anointings, ministry, and destiny is a risk. Being a cheerful giver is a risk. A selfless marriage is a risk. Forgiveness is a risk. Asking for forgiveness is a risk. Repentance is a risk. And fill in the blank is a risk. But these things are guaranteed risks. God backs them up. He loves them. He loves these movements, these actions that we take towards his heart, towards being like Jesus. Did Jesus offer forgiveness? Big time. Yes, big time. Are we doing that? It should be big time. Big is the heart of Jesus because he's the one inside empowering us. The rich young ruler, did he take a risk? Nah. Nope. Wouldn't do it. Took his arms and wrapped them around his money. After talking real big. There are a lot of big talkers in the body of Christ. I'm glad to be in a company of risk takers. Oh, you're not perfect. And you already know I'm not perfect. And yet we come together and we take the risks together, encouraging one another. That's big. God likes that. I said God likes that. Your father loves it. He sees you as one of those little ducklings jumping off the bridge and he's cheering. And he sees the birds going overhead. Everybody else, they won't take that risk of jumping into the water. They just fly over. I want to stay comfortable up here in the air. Why get anywhere near that water? the people in the back of the boat, the disciples, they didn't follow Peter on that walk on water. It looked like it was not very successful, but Jesus comes along, pulls him up out of the water, and walks him back to the boat. Success! You get 100% when you're hooked up with Jesus. Do you know that when you get to heaven and you face him, if you have been fully clothed in Jesus, he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What? Yeah. That's what he's going to say. And you're going to know better. But I would keep your mouth shut. Because God knows everything about you, inside and out. And yet he's going to declare that kind of life over you because of Jesus. Not your performance. That would make you want to go after Jesus more, not less. Oh, then I'll back off if I don't have to, you know, prove myself to God. No, fall more in love with Jesus. And it'll be so sweet to worship him here before you get there because he's worthy. And we entered into some cool worship today. Awesome. Judas, risk taker, in the wrong direction. There are those that take risks, but like people that put on fire suits, get steamed on the inside and burn on the outside. Talk to your insurance agent, see what he thinks about that. That's what Judas did in the spirit. And he ends up committing suicide. Think of that. You're with Jesus every day. And you commit suicide. Some of us do that in the spirit for a season. It's not pretty. Having to encourage someone that's, in a sense, spiritually suicidal. It's intense trying to rescue them from that pit. Pilate, he take a risk? No, crowd pleaser, people pleaser. Should have listened to his wife. I thought I'd get more reaction from that. Okay, you gotta shout it. Lead the charge, you know, they'll follow. Ananias and Sapphira. Talk big giving, give little. Talk big giving, give little. Weren't willing to take the full risk of giving everything. Let's not find ourselves in that boat. We have to give everything to Jesus to get the full reward of being so close to him and close to his heart that we love risk. The more you back off from Jesus, the less risky you're willing to live life. You have to be close to Jesus to have the courage, if it ever came to you being martyred for Jesus. It would take the grace of God. When we hear reports from Pastor Jacob, he is relying on the grace of God, and he says so. He knows it sweeter and sweeter because he's come to the very edge of martyrdom. And that's where we want to be, whether we're ever martyred or not. We want to be so involved with the grace of God that we would offer ourselves if it came to it for the sake of Christ. People in India have to do that when they face the persecution they face. In some parts of Africa, the same thing. In other parts of the world, they have to face that type of choice. Will I deny Jesus or not? Will I take the risk, the guaranteed risk, of standing up for Jesus. And more in this country, it's going to be the case. Don't think it's all going to be overseas. It's going to be more and more the case. In the last few years, we've heard of people at gunpoint being asked the question, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Will you accept my faith instead? And so many of them have courageously said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And some have paid for it with their lives. Come on. If these aren't the last days, we're on the edge. We've got to prepare our hearts for more risk. And he will empower it. That's the good news. If we try to do it on our own, just try coming up with more courage. I will be courageous. I will be courageous. I will be courageous. And inside, I'm a chicken heart. Okay, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. I said it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus took the greatest risks of all time, becoming a man claiming to be the Messiah. Oh, what you're talking about? Oh, that's me. And they were like, they did not recognize him as the Messiah. They were gnashing with their teeth, ready to kill him. But his time had not yet come. That's a very important phrase in the Bible. But his time had not yet come. Because it was prophesied exactly how, when that would happen. Jesus is not a fairy tale, a storybook character, someone that's nice to follow. You must take risks to follow him. I am glad to be part of a company, part of a community, that's what we say, and that's what we're trying to do more and more and more, not less and less and less. Until these pews become so comfortable that we end early. But we're going to today anyway. At least early for me. And he took one more risk. He trusted you with the good news. He trusted you with the gospel. Not angels. You. You're his representatives, his risk-taking representatives. Where will you take the gospel this week? To whom will you open your mouth and speak? To whom will you pray for the first time in your life, put your hand out to pray for someone? To whom will be touched by your life this week because you take a risk? Which family, when you have a family meal today, hopefully very soon here, when you have a family meal, what risk will you take in that setting, or will you just let down your hair? I can't, but some of you can. Just let down your hair, relax, you know. Just chill with your fam. Or are you going to take a risk to love, to serve, clean up afterwards, you know, things like that since it's Mother's Day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this company of risk takers. We speak it into them. We see it in what they share up here in front, God. And in their lives, God, as they continue to take on the challenge of following you, they jump off the dock. They step off the boat onto water. Lord, and unlike the ducklings, we don't belong on water, but we do. When we're with you, we belong on the water. Even with the waves and the winds, you can sustain us. You can keep us on the water, God. Thank you, Jesus. Inspire in us your heart of taking a risk to love. Your heart of a risk to serve. Because you came not to be served, but to serve. Even you. Lord, wow, what an example. We follow you today with our whole heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
just invite you to go to my Facebook page and you can see this little video again. I can't tell you how many times I've watched it. As Pastor Bill said, there are many different prophetic messages from it, many. And he touched on a couple of them. And even looking at some of the things that he said with another angle as well. And he picked up a few things that he shared with you. But I just really encourage you, when we have our mission training weekend, and by the way, if you've been stirred up from today and stirred up from last week, dealing with the Great Commission and what the Lord's been saying about it very specifically, just see me if the Lord's been stirring your heart in the area of missions in a new way, and we haven't chatted about that, or you have something else that the Lord's showing you, I'd like to talk to you. And for mission training weekend coming up, which is 2 weeks? 1 week? Oh, this weekend. Oh, gosh. I'll be there. But anyway, those of you who are going to be part of that, if you would take the plunge, take the challenge, and look at that and bring your thoughts and ideas, make your list as long as you possibly can. And really, there are many things that are planned. We're up and coming, and we're trying to not make this a call for missions, mission message, so to speak, but at the same time, we know that the Lord is stirring things. So if you would do that and be thinking about this. And for those who are coming next weekend, if you haven't listened to last week's message and watched the videos that are attached, make sure that you do that before you get here. Okay, so they're all tied in together. God bless you all.